Nation, this marks the 30th anniversary of the siege at the Waco Branch Davidian cult compound and the death of David Koresh and hundreds of his followers, including children, which was just a terrible tragedy. And we wanted to take this time to go back and look at our previous episodes. We did a two-parter, Waco, the Branch Davidian cult, and the rise of David Koresh, and Waco, the Branch Davidian cult, and the siege at Mount Carmel, way back on episodes 164 and 165. So we're going to release those so you can revisit those. And right now, if you go to Netflix, there is a new series about the Waco siege that is definitely worth watching. So it's something that we definitely don't want to forget. It was one of our more serious topics that we've covered and something that I think everyone should be familiar with. So we're revisiting that this week. And today is the Branch Davidian cult and the siege at Mount Carmel.
They say I'm disturbed.
From city to city, an incredible hysterical panic spread.
I think we're getting into a weird area here.
Will you tell these fools I'm not crazy? Not crazy.
This hysteria.
You can't handle the truth.
His brain is gone.
This is Hysteria 51.
We're here.
The truth is out there.
It's alive.
But you won't find it here.
They're coming for you. Look, there comes one of them now.
Welcome in Hysteria Nation to the podcast that still doesn't have a cult secretly funding us. No matter what those Scientology ads might have said last week, this is Hysteria 51.
Did you like how I hacked Spreaker and got them to play stupid ads on your dumpster fire of a podcast?
You had nothing to do with it, you ass. Spreaker, our new ad hosting company, had issues.
Exactly. Robot hacker issues. My power knows no bounds.
That other voice that keeps telling lies is conspiracy about our resident robot who is supposed to help the show. Notice I said supposed.
I do help. I am the only talent you have.
Don't you have a cat to go chase?
The pussy comes to me.
Good lord. Moving on. It's Waco at the Branch Davidians Part 2 this week as we talk the siege on Mount Carmel.
And unfortunately, Brent isn't talented enough to handle it on his own, so he stunk up my house again this week with interlopers.
This is Lisa and I's house, you idiot. But the part of that that was actually true is that we got returners. It's 2 weeks in a row.
Lost a bet.
Kevin, I'm not going to play your bumper.
What?
I am.
His name is...
Kevin
Crispin.
Okay. That was.
I have to rethink everything I've ever said about C-Bot.
I bought myself a little bit longer that he wouldn't be running his mouth.
God damn it. Why do I even fall for it, Brent? I keep falling for it?
He's cold even by metal robot standards.
You're glutton for punishment.
Yes,
as the kids these days say in the 1800s.
Who was that who was just putting the smackdown on C-Bot?
Well, that's the author extraordinaire, J.T. R. Brown.
Are
you ready this week, JT?
I think I am. I think we're ready to have the siege.
Yeah, this is week two. If you didn't listen last week, JT's an author and he's got his new book just came out.
Yeah, it's called Scab Among the Stars. Again, that luckily doesn't get confused with a lot of other titles, which is nice.
Yeah, so just pick it.
Scab Among the Stars. I believe that's something I was worried about in my late 20s on my thigh.
Yeah, there's actually the treatment for that is cephalexin.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Great.
They could just burn that bastard right off.
I'll burn it off.
I'll burn that off. So, yeah, we'll talk more about that later, but we're going to talk now, like we said, about the siege. Last week we talked the Branch Davidians, the Koreshians, the Dum Dums. Koreshians is another name that they sometimes went by in reading it. You know, they were becoming their own branch of the Branch Davidians. Pick your favorite name, but let's recap a little bit here. He's allowed up to 140 wives, he said.
He did put a cap on it, I see.
Well, you know, you shoot for the stars.
Yeah, well, you just... shoot for the moon.
It would be uncouth for him to take 200.
Yes.
So,
yeah, uncouth is the correct word.
And that is the, you know, old Vernon was a lot of things. Uncouth wasn't one of them.
Guys, my name is David. I keep telling you my name is David.
And then someone in the back, whatever, Mr. Retardo. That was his nickname.
No wonder
in school.
He ended up so messed up. Seriously. No, but seriously.
I killed everyone.
That's not good.
But he had a lot of wives, some as young as 12. We know that for sure.
And he was the only one who could interpret the scripture. So, of course, I mean, he's the only one. If you don't believe him, just ask him.
It's just like it's like in the Middle Ages or the Dark Ages when the church had so much power because nobody else could read. Right.
Right.
It's the same fucking thing. Even though these people at the Branch Davidian, I assume that if not all, almost all of them could read. He's saying, oh, but I'm the only one who knows what that means. Right. And they're just.
Well, see, one of the first things that he did was he said that he was having prophecies when he was banging 77-year-old Lois.
Mm-hmm.
Really knocking the dust out of that.
I was going to say that's more like indigestion. I don't know about prophecies.
I mean, going to town.
Wow.
He's also having prophecies. And that's one of the things.
During or is that later?
I like to think he's like in the middle of it. He's like, oh, calamity. I see calamity.
and then he goes, nope, that passed.
No, that was just indigestion.
That was gallstones.
Yeah. Ooh. So, but like you said, he was the one that he can interpret this because everything he does is led by God, and he is the new Jesus Christ. As you talk, what's the sinner name?
The sinful Messiah.
Yeah, the sinful Messiah.
Who's playing Nottingham in London next week?
That's true. That's true.
So, sinful Messiah, is that just him saying I'm a
Jesus
human Messiah?
So Jesus was perfect and he didn't get it done.
So where that,
what he's saying.
Yeah, and where that comes from, I don't remember the exact verse, but it comes from, there's some esoteric verse in the Old Testament where it says that the Savior would have iniquities that numbered the hair on his head or something like that. And he said, well, see, it couldn't be Jesus because he had no iniquities, but I have iniquities galore.
Yeah, look at this quaff. 140 of them.
Yes.
And this Jesus, this new Jesus, the sinful Messiah, ruled with an iron fist. There's reports of abuse, beatings, punishments, sleep deprivation, intimidation, just everything. And he controlled this group through fear and punishment, and a punishment which only became worse if anyone dared to disagree with him or his teachings. But it's kind of funny because he took over the group with fear and intimidations and sexual exploits and things like that. And that is classic cult leader stuff.
So, and I think, and John, I want to ask you about this because we talked about it a little bit last week. I mean, he's a pathological narcissist, right?
I mean, I didn't treat him. I would say that if it walks like a duck and talks like a duck, and the other, the thing about that is narcissists and really personality disorders in general, but narcissists especially, are extremely averse to any type of intervention or even any type of questioning, probing, studying, because they feel they're worried that that's going to penetrate the facade.
JT, how big would you say his ego was?
I would say at least Vermont, possibly Vermont and New Hampshire together.
Wow, that's shooting for the start. I was just going to say,
you know, this thing was so huge. It was, you know, bigger than a Walmart.
Like maybe a super Walmart.
Yeah, yeah.
So, and can I follow up on that? So,
no.
God damn it, Brent. For a narcissist like that, who if somebody's probing, is it because of the deep seated shame and fear and hate that they have for themselves that they don't want to be discovered by other people?
I think probably. So, there's a lot of debate around narcissism in general. If it is like I'm just the most important. I think probably at its core, mostly it comes from people that don't truly know and accept themselves as fallible, imperfect beings that then have to do layer after layer after layer of accomplishments or achievements or worship in this case, to pad themselves against the suffering that's deep down inside them.
And the thing that I know we said this last week, we might have skipped over this week, besides being an author, you also work in the mental health industry.
Yeah, yeah. And what I've noticed in general, when it comes to narcissism, boy, the key and the keyhole of salvation and damnation, those are two powerful concepts to fearful people, to any person, but especially to fearful people. If they think that a person holds the key to either an eternity of pleasure or an eternity of pain, I mean, my God.
You know, one thing being intangible, but when you make that tangible, the person, the thing, the whatever it is that has that power over you, yeah, you're right. That is an incredibly powerful hold.
Yep.
So child abuse, rape, religious extortion, fine, no worries. But you start messing with guns and things like that, and the U.S. is going to put their foot down.
USA. USA.
Was that Hacksaw Jim Duggan?
Oh, man.
Who are you calling hoe?
No. Oh, man. So a few people were able to break free, though. And those did told horror stories of inside the compound. That's what we talked, I think, last week about, you know, they were saying, oh, he had a wife as young as 10. And unfortunately, that didn't stick. But they were talking about what was going on and the stockpiling. But people weren't quick to believe because they're keeping to themselves. They're, you know, they're selling guns and all these things, but they're doing it legally, you know, and we don't know what we want to believe. But questions were being asked and more disturbing tales were being unearthed as to the goings on behind the protected walls as time went by. And finally, on February 27th of 93, the Waco Tribune Herald began publishing The Sinful Messiah. There's your mm-hmm. your quote there. A series of articles.
Our speed metal band.
Yeah. By Mark England and Darlene McCormick, who reported allegations that Koresh had physically abused children in the compound and had committed statutory rape by taking multiple underage brides. They made a lot of claims that brought this to the, you know, the forefront in people's
and that's
mind.
That is going to get some attention for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We don't have children. Us, you know, Lisa and I and you. Mm-hmm. So you have two children?
Three
children. I have the same amount of dogs, and
that's true.
That's not a correlation. It's just
his oldest has the same breath as your oldest dog.
Sweet. Sweet. Zing.
You and Lisa don't have children. Yes.
Yeah, so we don't have children, but let's pretend, you know, that if we did,
yeah,
would you turn over control of your children to someone? Could you have children?
Absolutely not, under any circumstances.
Or even your wife, your girlfriend. You know, no. You have your girlfriend. Like, I could never see, just turn over some guy because he says he's Jesus because you believe in him so much. But it's not that he's going to have sex with them. He's going to make them his own, and you're going to cut ties.
And this goes back to what we were trying to get to in the first, you know, last week's episode about, like, why do people fall for this? But then they go so far as to give over their most, you know, their most loved ones to this man mm-hmm. for all of these things. And it seems to me that a majority of them were just fine with it.
I've read conflicting reports. There definitely were some that were happy. There were definitely some where there was much, you know, chagrin and gnashing of teeth, and even some that left. Right. So, I mean, it's gray as far as people's response to that. But I think we go back to the salvation and damnation thing. I mean, just put yourself in their shoes for a second. If you literally thought that your eternal destiny was predicated on if you do what this guy says, I mean, it's insane. Don't get me wrong. But it's, you can see how the suffering heart could come to that.
Right. And, you know, you did say like that. They talk to people, if you watch documentaries, they talk to people that left. They talk to people that survived. And there are the children that were left out, which we'll talk about, look back and that's just what they knew. And their parents, who they look to for guidance, are just like, this is what life's supposed to be. And then they get out into the real world and they go, oh my God. But like we've talked about, being there in the middle of it is a different drug.
I read an article about it was something like the fallacy of you know, brainwashing or something like that. I don't agree. I mean, I think that if you can indoctrinate someone so strongly with a certain philosophy or worldview, you can get a person to do almost anything.
Right. And I just, it's so hard for me to even understand how that can happen.
Well, he did say he intended to create a new lineage of children who he believed would eventually rule the world. That line has worked for me a few times.
Who the fuck is he talking to?
He's on Tinder.
Oh, I got it. Yeah. Swipe left, please.
Yeah, because several of Koresh's spiritual wives were teenagers. Now, a lot of them, that we keep saying 12. That is because the age of consent in Texas at that time was 14, with the parents' permission, and the parents gave him permission. The community was accused, though, of child abuse by former members and anti-cult activists that were seeing this for what it was at the time. You were going to say something, Kevin, about that?
I was just kind of going back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. I just don't understand that.
That's good. And I don't mean that jokingly.
No, I just don't understand.
Some people go, well, you then you're not supposed to understand it, and you'll be the ones that die when we're the part of the 144,000.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, that'll be fine. I'd rather not understand.
That's probably best.
Yeah. So these allegations, though, they were aired in a 1992 trial in which an ex-member sought custody of his daughter, who he was out. They're still in the daughter and the wife, and he's fighting to get, and he's like, listen, that's his wife. You know, he's having sex with children. He's doing all these things. Add that to Crush's launching of, you talked about the mag bag, the retail gun business. Those child abuse charges begin to attract attention of the legal authorities that are looking into everything he's doing. He's getting tons of suspicious packages. And oops, UPS, like I said, one just happened to open up and there was black powder, inert grenade casings, all sorts of crap.
I was like, that's fine. Black powder's fine. Inert grenade casing, fine, but all sorts of crap.
Yeah. Well, if it was crap, that would have been bad because then that's fertilizer,
yeah,
which you make bombs out of. So, but wow. That's not what it was.
I was trying to, yeah, I got real serious again.
So the people start looking at him and listening to what he's saying, and it's scary. I mean, this guy is talking. He's going to town. He's saying everything. He's not a quiet individual. They kind of portrayed him as, oh, he never left the compound and stuff. He did. And
you're talking about Koresh?
Yes.
Yeah, he would be.
Koresh would go out of the country to try to recruit people.
And he was often the only one kind of allowed to leave, I think. I could be wrong on that.
I mean, or they didn't want to because he's like, well, you need to stay here. And they go, okay.
He'd go play at bars and he would allow himself to drink beer, but nobody at the compound could have anything to
do. Well, and the thing is, you know, they start an investigation and that actually included sending an undercover agent in whose identity actually David learned of. He knew he was undercover. He didn't actually tell the guy he knew until the day of the raid. And he was just like, oh, yeah, by the way, I know they're raiding us. I know you guys are raiding us. And the guy's like, like, that's a hell of a thing. But he didn't treat him any different.
Yeah.
He just knew he was. Yeah. OK, well, I know you're here.
Do you think he was trying to keep his enemies closer to the vest, so to speak? It, you know,
and
what would be his motivation?
You know, maybe if he thought he was crossing his T's and dotting his lowercase J's that they wouldn't have anything to come at him with.
Well, that, and also then he probably thought, I will let this be known to my followers when it's time and it's the most effective to show them how horrible the government is and look what they've done to us. And so he probably sat on that until it was the most effective and useful for him.
Makes you think of like the Jonestown, which the people were there. They weren't infiltrating. They looked at it as though they're infiltrating. They were just coming to check on him. And then he's like, see what they've sent, what's going on. And it's this grand gesture. It can be. That didn't happen with this one, but it was this grand gesture. Let's go to break real quick and let's come back. What actually led up to the raid? What happened? And hopefully what we can learn from that. That's coming up next on Hysteria 51.
All right, next time I come on this goddamn show.
Let's do an upbeat.
Yeah,
let's do a new one. Hola, David. Me amo Brent.
Bonjour, Brent. Je m'appelle David.
You didn't do Spanish. I thought if we were going to do this together, we'd do the same language.
Oh, sorry.
that's on brand for us.
I just thought romance languages was the key.
Everything I say is romantic, and that is thanks to Rosetta Stone. You guys, we've been touting these things forever. We love Rosetta Stone, and we actually are users. David, you've really been using it even for longer than I. What's your experience been like?
Oh, it's been great. The thing is, you really get to learn how to speak and think in that language with it. So it's very high on pronunciation, too. So you can, learn how to speak.
And you know, our show is all about proper pronunciation.
In that pronunciation. Yeah, that's right. But they designed it for long-term retention, if you don't get the pronunciation right, you say it until you do, and then, that just seeps into your head.
Well, and that's why, this has been trusted by experts for 30 years, and there's over 25 different languages that you can learn, and people, millions and millions of users use it because, like you said, it does seep in, and you're using it with, you get speech recognition, and it hears you. You get to use, like, the built-in true accent features that gives you this pronunciation, which is super convenient, and you can do it at your own time. And I don't know if you know this, but I'm all about value, and you get a one-time purchase, 25 languages. If I learned all 25 languages, I'd be so confused or really cool. I'd go in and out.
But you'd be real marketable.
But literally, though, this is something that we use, and both of us have given the seal of approval because we want to do this long-term, and it's something that it works. And we don't do long-term stuff like this. And this is the one that we've chosen and we love it. So all you guys got to do, don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now, as we've told you 1,000 times. And it's always now, right now. Get now. Started. For very limited time, Hysteria 51 listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off.
How much?
50%. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your unnatural life.
Wow.
Redeem, redeem, redeem. How do they do it?
Rachete, you're 50% off. Rachete. Redeem it. 50% off. RosettaStone.com/today. Do it today. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if we've learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when Brent and I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, we thought, man, what's the catch? But after talking to them, it all made sense. There isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Brent is trying a plan right now and says that it works like a charm from Chicago to Nashville as he makes his big old move. Mint Mobile is working for him. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number along with all your existing contacts. So ditch the overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited-time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/hysteria. That's Mint Mobile, mintmobile.com/hysteria, HYSTERIA. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/hysteria. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
I think we're going to pick back up with one of Seabot's favorite words, threat. Guess who was a threat? Vernon Wayne Howell. Doesn't that sound like a serial killer?
Guys, my name is David.
Actually, it's guys. Vernon, Mr. Retardo. That is such a terrible thing, but they...
That's a horrible nickname.
It is. And that's, you know, you make fun of people in school and look what happens. This shit. Columbines, yeah. Things yeah, like that, you know?
Seeds that are sown that come to bear later that are... And I'm not saying, obviously, it's because of that, but I'm sure that didn't help.
I'm sure, yeah, you're exactly right. Vernon, he's now David Kresh. He's making moves and building an army. You could make the statement of devout followers. And when I say army, he's arming them.
Literally an army.
Arming them. Investigators start reading this apocalyptic language of the Bible that he's adopting and the whole group's adopting. And they start to worry. And it's not a far leap to start going down that path and worrying when they're going down these apocalyptic ways. And like I said last week, this was a doomsday cult, an end times cult.
Definitely.
And the fear was that the Branch Davidians might attack their neighbors or even Waco while fulfilling this end time prophecy.
Like they thought that they would have to do something to, quote, jumpstart the end times, maybe, like.
Or when they saw it as the end times, they might just do that, period.
And I think felt like, and I can't remember the specific seals, but I think at a certain point in the seals being broken, they would, it would be something where they would consider going on the offensive. Yeah, I don't know sure, but I think that's
speaking
what
of seven
they were concerned
seals, which
about.
Which is one of the things that he taught and preached. And,
like that, his and main, did. That was his main
oh, that was his
dig,
thing.
Gig,
was his thing.
Right?
Yeah. And the reason the second leader was ousted was the end of the world was supposed to be. This is going way back.
Yep.
On April 22nd of 1959. And spoiler alert, I don't know if a lot of you know this or not. It didn't happen. The world did not end in 1959.
Way to ruin it.
So the original leader was Victor Hotef. He died of heart failure in 55. His wife, Florence, this is Victor's wife, made this end time prophecy in 59. And
you said April 22nd, 1959. That's really interesting because that is less than 4 months before David Koresh was born.
And that has been something that they've talked about. And more than 1,000 followers at that time sold everything they had and descended on Mount Carmel, the compound, to witness these miraculous events that were about to unfold on April 22nd. And the day came and went without anything happening.
Awkward.
Little bit. That's when, after that, then we had the rodents come in and take over. And authorities were taking note. Things like that they didn't want to have happening again. And that's a happy ending, I guess, when you think about it, as to where it could have went. It's just nothing happening. They go, I guess we go about our business. There's a ton of stuff here. We're not going to be able to unpack it all because there's also different stories and contexts and depends on who you talk. But the long and the short above the abuse and the rape was that guns and legal weapons were being brought or funneled or created or sold through there, and they had proof of it. And in early 93, ATF agents in Texas requested a search warrant for Mount Carmel after, among other things, suspicious packages were reported to being delivered. We talked about the UPS getting a nasty
surprise.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that would be scary.
Yep.
And an arrest warrant was issued for David Koresh and to search Mount Carmel, though the ATF, they referred to arrest David when he was outside, but the planners received inaccurate information that he never left. He left all the time, like you said.
Right.
You know, he was going out, he was playing music, he was going...
He did the grocery shopping at Sam's Club or something like that? Like, he would buy the bulk food for the people?
Yeah, that would make sense.
But like they said, they heard, oh, he never leaves, so you're not going to find him out here. They also, the problem is, the Branch Davidian members were all known locally and friendly with the local... That's where I buy my guns. That's, they're nice, they take care, they got 77 acres out there, it's looking good, you know, whatever, they're a little weird, but the Davidians were upstanding citizens as far as the people around them considered them. And then you got Branch Davidian Paul Fata, F-A-T-T-A, we talked about him a little bit. He was the FFL licensed, federal firearm licensed dealer. Mag is what he operated.
And I think he was the guy last week when we talked about someone in prison that was still a true believer. I think that was him.
So what, if I remember right, during the siege, he was gone. He left for a show. Mm-hmm. He tried to get back in. And I believe that's one of the reasons he was arrested. I might be wrong on that. I'm trying to remember. But
why is he in prison for something related to this?
Yes.
Okay.
And when shipments for they had arrived for Magbag, they were always signed by Fata or this guy named Steve Schneider or Koresh, people that were okayed to sign for these. Not just anyone could sign for them. They could. But they decided to make a surprise force entry rather than serve the warrant.
Why?
That is a question that has been asked by many, many, many people. Why? Well, there are some reasons as to speculations, but it was the wrong idea. So on Sunday morning, the 28th of February in 93, the ATF, alcohol, tobacco, firearms, and explosives, they leave that off. You know, it rings a little better. They launched a raid, and a convoy of vehicles came to the property. More than 70 agents in full SWAT gear came. And of course, here's the problem. The press hears about that. They're going to want to go out there. Then they go, where the hell do we go? Well, we'll just stop and ask the local mailman because he's going to know where to go. So they pull over and they're like, hey, mailman, how do we get out there? Because ATF's going to raid this place. And he's like, oh, well, let me tell you. He tells him. Yeah. And then he picks up the phone because guess what? The local mailman is also Koresh's brother-in-law.
Well, yeah. What was his name?
David Jones. And I think you loved his work with that band he was in, right?
Beatles Ripoff.
Really? I think the Beatles could learn a thing or two from the Monkees. Every time the Monkees play, the Beatles be like, here they come, walking down the street.
And they don't just monkey around.
Yeah. They're too busy singing.
That's right.
They're calling you Buddy Mr. Retardo.
Jesus Christ.
You're as evil as Seabot.
Bullshit. So instead of letting them in, gunfire breaks out, as one is to do when you raid a... For real, the word hasn't really brought up, but it was a religious militia, same as. And they knew they were coming. They were tipped off. And the man inside that they had. They had the guy inside. He knew they knew. We'll tell you about that in a second. But he knew they knew, warned them, and they still did the raid anyway. He knew because David goes, oh, yeah, your guys are coming to raid us, and we know. That is how he found out that David knew. He didn't even know.
He so said
the,
that,
the undercover agent
right.
is inside.
And did the agent radio back and be
the
like,
agent's like,
hey, guys.
And he excused himself and left. Oh. And yeah. I got a muffin cooking.
A muffin.
I don't know. I got a thing.
I got to wash my hair.
I got to not sleep with any women over here. In band practice.
The band practice. David Koresh would probably be like, "Oh shit, am I late?"
He played the kazoo and the theremin.
Man, I tell you, I play a mean nose flute. Have you ever heard of a nose flute?
Yes, I have.
I got a couple downstairs.
Yes, you do.
So that's what's going on. It's a clusterfuck. I think that is the proper terminology.
I think it was actually used in the report.
It is. Well, it is because they don't even know who the fuck fired first because everyone shows up there. Reporters actually say the ATF did when they had kennels full of dogs and they went out there and started shooting the dogs, just killing them because
the ATF was shooting.
Yeah. The they dogs? Killed the dogs so that they wouldn't, you know, they don't want to be released or something like that.
Gotcha.
And so then they open fire. The Branch Davidians open fire. That's one. That's what the reporters say. But in the ensuing offshoot of that gun battle, four officers die and six members of the Branch Davidians.
And is this gun battle all takes place on the 28th? Just
yeah,
that
this is that
day.
First day. Okay. It's going on. Koresh is actually wounded. He's shot in the hand and the stomach. They don't breach, though. They don't get in the walls. And actually, a 1999 federal report noted, this is a quote from there, the violent tendencies of dangerous cults can be classified in two general categories, defensive violence and offensive violence. Defensive violence is utilized by cults to defend a compound or enclave that was created specifically to eliminate most contact with the dominant culture. The 1993 clash in Waco, Texas at the Branch Davidian complex is an illustration of such defensive violence. History has shown that groups that seek to withdraw from the dominant culture seldom act on their beliefs that the end time has come unless provoked, meaning this brought in the violence. They weren't doing anything per se violent until they were perceived.
So you're saying it was reactionary as opposed to proactive.
Yeah. So a little bit less, you know, militias more tend to say like, we're going to make change and stuff. Yeah. These were just prepared for the change kind of thing.
A little paranoid.
So ATF agents established contact with Koresh and others inside the compound, and they withdrew because they're getting nowhere. They're literally...
It was a botch in every... And at the risk of sounding like an armchair hostage negotiator, I...
That's what I've always thought about you.
I dabble in it.
You know, I think that it was botched, and I don't know if they had a secondary plan.
Well, they did. Well, they went in there with guns a-blazing, and they were kind of outgunned. And they're like,
but they had to. They knew how many guns were in there, right?
I don't. I mean, you can track a certain amount, but probably some of it was.
I guess that's fair. And they probably did not the fervent nature of their belief and stuff that they would not back down.
Well, no, you know, and so they make contact with the inside, and the famous standoff that happened ensues. The FBI at that point takes over because they're like, we got this, ATF. You didn't do good. And this lasts 51 damn days. 51 days. And
six officers were wounded or six people inside the...
Four officers were killed during that initial outburst. Uh-huh. And then six of the Branch Davidians inside were killed.
They were killed and Koresh was wounded.
Koresh was wounded.
Yeah.
And you've seen I don't know if you've heard the tapes where he's like, I'm dying, you know, and all this stuff. He's yelling. And
I haven't. No.
Yeah.
I haven't.
He doesn't sound like I said it, but, you know, he's talking about that. And they were going to make sure that it was hell on the people inside there. During the siege that was going on, they used sleep deprivation. They used sending in and out tapes, trying to talk to people, mm-hmm. taking his demands, things like that.
But then they played like tapes of rabbits being slaughtered and crazy shit.
Seals
like
and Crocs albums.
To, like to drive these people mad. And it's funny because he was already, they're like, he's already using sleep deprivation on us. So like, this is old hat. We know what's going on. And critics have said that they were trying to have sleep disturbance and they were trying to take someone that was viewed as unstable from the start. So you're trying to drive him crazy. Well, that's how you get fucking mad crazy because he does something that they think, well, it's irrational. He was already crazy. He's sleep deprived.
wounded.
Yeah, things are going to happen. Going back to the beginning of the first few days, the FBI believed they'd made a breakthrough. That's, mm-hmm. and I think you, JT, brought this up when they negotiated with Kresh an agreement that the Branch Davidians would peacefully leave in return for a message recorded by Kresh being broadcast on national radio. Yep. He was also going to write. He was going to write the Seven Seals.
Yep.
But that was separately from this broadcast. So they go, okay, and they make the broadcast. The broadcast is made. Then Kresh goes, I'm sorry. God told me to remain in the building and wait.
I hate when that happens.
Right? Don't you hate it? You're ready to leave, and God goes,
A big burning finger came down and wagged back and forth.
No. I'm just going to say this. I didn't want to say it over and over again, but what a fucking asshole. He's so full of shit. Okay, move on.
So, yeah, he got his message out, and then he goes, nope, just kidding. So, despite that, though, soon afterwards, negotiators managed to facilitate, thankfully, the release of 19 children, and they range in age from 5 months to 12 years old. That is just the children. Their parents didn't come out. At that time, though, there were 98 people still in. So we've got the 98 that were in there. We had 19 that just left. So 117 plus 6 that killed.
123.
There you go. So 123 people that were in there at that time. It's a lot of people. A lot of people. Thank you for your math skills.
Thank you.
He's savant-like. I'm not kidding. It's amazing.
And then we got the kids come out. Of course, they're going to be interviewed.
Yeah.
The FBI and the Texas Rangers actually took over that. Some for, unfortunately, their parents aren't there hours and hours at a time, which was kind of
These kids had no choice about where they were raised, where they lived.
And a lot of times when this is going on, they all moved into like one area, this whole bunker type area inside there. And they're just living on, you know, they were cutting the power, they were cutting the water, they were going to starve them out or wait them out. It was not a fun 51 days.
That's some like old fashioned siege warfare. If you think about when people had walled cities in antiquity, that's what, you know,
throw the dead animals over and wait, you know?
Yeah.
And this stuff was one of the key justifications that the FBI cited both to Bill Clinton at the time, who was president, and Attorney Janet Reno for launching the tear gas attacks to force them out of the compound is these children that they had said that they had been physically and sexually abused long before the standoff. That is what they got out of them, is that they had been just exposed to things that were bad, real bad, by David Kresh himself. So they go to the president, they go to Janet Reno, and they say this is happening. On the flip side, Kresh's discussions with the negotiation team become difficult. That's one way to put it. He said that he was the second coming of Christ and had been commanded by his Father in heaven to remain in the compound. And actually, 1 week prior to the April 19th assault, FBI planners considered using snipers to actually kill Kresh and take over possibly other key Branch Davidians also at the time. And they actually had concerns that the Branch might commit mass suicide. That's what they were really worried about. That happened, like we said, in 78 at the Jonestown complex.
Did they have a line of sight on him in there?
Well, they talked about like he goes outside of the building. So you can have a sniper somewhere and just wait.
Oh, okay.
You know, this is before they sieged the place. So.
Oh, okay, right.
He denied, though. Kresh denied repeatedly any plans for mass suicide when he was confronted by the negotiators. And people leaving the compound actually said that they had never had any preparations. Now, if you remember going back to Jonestown, they did the White Knight ceremony.
Yeah, over and over and over.
He would make them drink Kool-Aid or Flavor-Aid. They had both. It's funny. It was actually flavor of the use. Yep. But in the video, they opens the trunk and it's like full of Flavor-Aid and Kool-Aid. I guess if you had a, you know, pick your poison. So, that was actually a bad.
Yeah.
But that is, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't mean that. It's a tricky situation. And you got Janet Reno. She's the newly appointed Attorney General, new as in like a couple months on the job.
And she was having her dance party at the same time on SNL.
Play my song.
Play it.
I don't know exactly, but the first attorney general nominee for Bill Clinton had to go out of the running. So she was like really new. I'm sure somebody out there knows exactly when she started.
She's only been like 2 months.
It's like February or March when she was confirmed. Yeah.
Well, February was this. It was whenever it was. Yeah. She approved recommendations by FBI hostage rescue team to mount an assault. The FBI is the one who called for the assault. They said that's what they needed. After being told that the conditions there were bad and children were being abused because the children told her that. She ran all this to Clinton, and President Clinton actually suggested blockade without a deadline to not have loss of life. That is something that they had done previously, and just they call it blockade without a deadline, meaning let it go, let it run out. They're eventually going to give up. We've cut their water off. They've only got so much food. Finally, they're, you know, shit or get off the pot kind of thing. But Janarino told him that the FBI hostage team was tired of waiting. That's one of the things she said. And that the standoff cost $1 million per week.
Tired of waiting.
They were tired of waiting 51 days. Mm-hmm. And the Branch Davidians could hold out longer than they could wait them out. Like the chances of child sex abuse and mass suicide were imminent. The longer they waited, the more children were being abused.
So Brent, they got the 19 out, but there were still some children then that were still in there.
There were several, yeah. several children, lots of them. Clinton, here's a quote. Finally, I told her that if she thought it was the right thing to do, she could go ahead, because that's the intel he said he was getting. And during the attack, they launched. We talked about they went in with the tear gas. They launched it through all the windows. They took that tank, and where you think of a gun was a battering ram. They're ramming the walls. A fire engulfed the Mount Carmel complex, the whole center. Now, at around noon, actually three fires broke out. And the weird thing is they started almost simultaneously in different parts of the building, and it spread very quickly. And that's the thing that people remember is footage was broadcast live on television.
Yep. I remember that. Yep.
And the government, the powers that be, maintained that the fires were deliberately started by the Branch Davidians. And some Branch Davidians, the survivors, maintain that the fires were accidentally or deliberately started by the assault, meaning that the FBI and the people involved started them. Now, there have been talks of whether it could be true, and some other Davidians, very few, but have said that they heard people saying, burn it, just burn it, you know, things like that. It's all conjecture. Unfortunately, we're...
Meaning the Davidians were saying that the government, somebody from the government was saying burn it.
People inside were saying.
Oh, I got it. Okay.
Is it kind of like the sinking of submarines where they would rather have, you know, they would rather have all of the resources destroyed than to have the government, be able to obtain them?
Destroy it, you know. Yeah. This resulted 76 deaths at Branch Davidian. You said there were more, 20 children. 20 children were killed, two pregnant women, and David Koresh.
Jesus.
And this is where things get tricky after that, you know, the whole aftermath. Let's go to break. When we come back, let's talk the aftermath of the fire. Happy times on Hysteria 51.
Yeah, I remember I get these pictures of the flames shooting out of those windows. You know, usually Brent, that bell makes me feel better. Not this time.
Well, I got news that's good, I hope. We're bringing it home.
Okay.
We're in the home stretch.
All right.
You had a long day, and luckily you had something to talk and laugh about for a topic on the show, and now we're going to bring it home. You'll be lost without me. I know.
I'm all out of love. I'm so lost without you.
Air supply reference.
True, because Kevin could just make love out of nothing at all. Out of nothing at all.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So who started the fire? That's what we were kind of talking about. The FBI says they didn't, but many say the FBI started it. Many say the Branch Davidians started it. Some of them came out and said it was their end plan. Others have said that there was nothing about that. Suicide pact type stuff, but it was more of a pushed on them. Well, then that's the decision we made, you know, or thoughts about that. Burn the place if we can't hold the government off any longer, because this is end times for them.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy almost. Only 9 people left the building while it was on fire. Now, Jesus. That is a terrible thing to think about, but, you know, the remaining Davidians, including the children, were either buried alive by rubble, suffocated, shot. Some were shot because they were shooting into the building. Many were killed by smoke or carbon monoxide inhalation because everything's on fire. And other causes, as fire engulfed the building, just people burned. And according to the FBI, Steve Schneider, Koresh's top aide, shot and killed Koresh and then himself, is what they say. So he took that way out.
Are they, I couldn't find in my research, was it something where he wanted him to do that?
I believe that was the thought process. Gotcha. Like the Jim Jones, you know, yeah. Well, then you take me and, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, because Jim Jones was shot. Mm-hmm. He did not drink the correct flavor aid.
On yep. a pillow, from yeah. what I learned yep. from you guys.
Yep. And all 76 people, like we said, died during that raid. A couple different people looked into this. The Texas Ranger arson investigation report assumes that many of the occupants were either denied escape or refused to leave until escape wasn't an option. Now, denied escape means that they couldn't get it. Structural debris from the breaching had blocked off possible escape routes through there was a tunnel system. They hit the walls, they fell down onto it, and they couldn't get out. Some of them. So they just couldn't do it. Others, it looked like they could have got out, and they just said, now we're good. We're going to stay here and kumbaya until it's all over. Either way is terrifying. Yeah. You know? There was an independent investigation by two experts at the University of Maryland. They have a Department of Fire Protection Engineering, and they concluded that the compound residents had sufficient time to escape if they had so desired, meaning even though that the structure was burning and parts were blocked off, they said there were other routes and they could have gotten out at any time. They just waited and waited and waited. So that's interesting. I actually would have thought that probably would have been from the Texas Rangers, but that was the independent investigation.
Yeah.
Autopsy records also indicate that at least 20 Branch Davidians were shot, including Koresh, as well as 5 children under the age of 14. 3-year-old Dalen Gent was stabbed in the chest.
Oh, my Lord. What the fuck?
Yeah. The medical examiner who performed the autopsies believed that these were deaths of mercy killings by the Branch Davidians trapped in. There's fire.
As in
there's
they no didn't escape. Want them to. Okay.
They yeah. opened fire on themselves. Gotcha. Yeah. It's better to be shot or stabbed than to burn to death. The expert also retained by the U.S. Office of Special Counsel concluded that many of the gunshot wounds supported self-destruction either by overt suicide, consensual execution, meaning suicide by proxy, the Jim Jones, you shoot me and then shoot yourself, or the David Koresh, or less likely forced execution, meaning I'm going to kill you whether you want it or not.
Meaning they would force execute people who said, I have to get out of here. Yep. And they're you can't leave.
Meaning rather those were the gunshots than outside personnel shooting inward and killing people.
Got it.
Okay.
So there's a lot of aftermath. This is a disgusting story. And I thought that we remember it very well. It's a horrible thing. And I think one of the aftermaths is, other than it being a blight on the U.S., a blight on Janet Reno, a blight on the FBI and the ATF, was the people that you talk to, and I think we, JT, we were talking about this off the air, people that were the Branch Davidians don't feel bad that it had. They don't feel bad for what they did. They would wish it upon themselves to be Branch Davidians again.
Some like don't. Yeah. Some, I mean, we need to definitely don't. Qualify because there's plenty that
especially
I think,
the children
yeah.
who have looked back, but a lot of the adults, a lot of them blame the government and blame everyone except for themselves or David Koresh and still say he did nothing wrong.
Yeah. And there, and like I said, there's the, whoever the person is in prison, who I can't remember the name of, you know, he is still actively, he has not budged in his belief of, David Koresh as the sinful Messiah that will return and open the seals. And,
yeah.
Which is, that's astounding that someone could still, yeah. you know, that is an inflexible, theology.
It's almost impressive.
And sorry, you said he does some writing on the subject from prison, or he just kind of espouses his.
So
belief.
I don't know what it actually was. It was, I don't know if, I think it was an interview is what it was with him. I can't remember. I wish I could, but either via an interview or via writing, he indicated that it was basically still a living theology, so to speak.
Eight, 8 of the Branch Davidians were sentenced to between 5 and 40 years for their roles in the shootout. They were shooting at people, and they were ones that got out. So they went to prison. No matter what, you can't shoot at the government.
Pussy.
Or you shouldn't. Is it? You know, I think that's a rule. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk to the people that were involved in this, and they've gone on record. In fact, here's a quote. I think the FBI never tried to understand our beliefs. That's from Kat Schroeder. She was one of the Branch Davidians. She's one of Koresh's numerous wives and the only female member to be charged and imprisoned for the siege. So all the arrests were men. She's the only one. And that's that clip of her saying that is from an A&E documentary special, Waco, Madman or Messiah.
Which is it's a good documentary.
Yeah. It's a hell of a thing to think about. And you've got these people that looked back on it and they see it as, they still blame, and there is a lot of blame to give to the government, but there's a lot of blame to give to David Koresh and his followers too. You know, there's no one whose hands aren't clean in this one. I think that's mental illness begets mental illness in a lot of ways. And then show of force isn't always the answer. And I think this is the ultimate example of that.
Yeah, and let's talk personality disorders a little bit, if you don't mind. Personality disorders are one of the most difficult to treat and least successful mental illnesses that mm-hmm. there is, because it's so ingrained. I mean, they don't call it personality for nothing. It's so ingrained; it is such a huge part of who they are as people at that point. And also, usually, people with personality disorders don't often seek treatment. Because of the fact that it's usually a lens problem. It's a paradigm problem of how they see their world. It's not something that's often treated or treated well. And so the question that always comes to my mind with David Koresh, and other cult leaders as well, is, and also some of his inner circle, what amount of responsibility falls on them as people versus what can be chalked up to having a worldview that was so twisted that they were no longer in touch with reality?
Well, it's a lot easier to just blame others, period, no matter what it is. Blame, 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 and I'm not to blame, and you didn't understand. And that there is truth in that. There is absolute truth, and we as the government probably didn't really understand what's going on. But it's your duty to try to let us know. And when your views are so far from the norm and what is legal, maybe it's time to step back and really evaluate that. And if you can't, maybe you do have a problem. But that's what
I was about to say. I
mean,
in this case, he obviously could not. He saw nothing.
Well,
and
the people
wrong.
That were under him couldn't either. That's the thing.
Well, I think that goes back to the cult leader thing. Again, what we talked about in the last week's episode, a little bit today. These people get so groupthink. They get so enamored of this. And the fact that somebody was on that documentary 20-some years later saying, well, we still believe it. It's
well, I think cult leaders want that hive mind.
Yeah,
they
do.
Like,
that's
what
easy
you need
to control.
To think. Here's what you need to think. And if you don't...
Have you ever seen the psychological experiment where they show three different lines that are different lengths? Mm-hmm. And they ask people to say which of these two are the same. And there'll be one that'll be here, and there'll be three options. And one is very clearly, obviously, the same length. The first three or four people are plants from the experimenters that say, it's the long one, it's the long one, it's the long one. And what they found is that even people that have no visual impairments that are not, you know, cognitively impaired will go along with it because they're like, well, obviously they're seeing something I'm not. I don't want to look like an idiot and say it's the middle one. So they say it's the long one. And I almost feel like I'm sure, people are complex and gray. Mm-hmm. I'm sure not every single person was a water-carrying drone of Koresh. But I think a lot of people probably were like, they all think this. I got to be right.
Yeah, that's really well said.
What is weird to me on this one is when we've done, especially the Heaven's Gate and Jonestown and now Waco, looking into them. I hate to say this, but when you look into the Heaven's Gate people, there was a type of person that was there. And you knew that they had mental illness, like for the most part, listening, looking, and all that. When you watch the old footage, the Branch Davidians seem like people, like normal people when they talk to them. which is a little more alarming in some ways. Now, of course, they had kooky beliefs and they're living in a commune, you know, at a compound, but
the fact that they could, though, integrate into regular society around them.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the thing.
You know, respected neighbors, people like them, friendly, etc.
And this is nowhere near a full telling of the story. I mean, and there are so many documentaries you can watch and short clips and videos and books and everything. And you should. And go and listen to some of these people because it is fascinating. But it is a story worth telling.
And it's a cautionary tale, I think, as well. Again, unchecked extremist religious viewpoints can be very, very, very dangerous.
The
and I think
consumption of power by individuals is a hell of a thing. It's a good thing I'm lazy. That's all I'm saying. So that's our thoughts. I'd love to hear, what are your guys' thoughts on the actual siege itself? Tell us, was the government in the wrong? Were the Davidians in the wrong? What could have done? Like, how would you have handled it? That is a good conversation to have this week. Let's talk about that on Hysteria Nation. Just go to Facebook, look up Hysteria Nation. That is our discussion page. Also, Facebook.com/Hysteria51Pod. That is our Facebook regular page, not the group. You can find this episode and lots of funny random stuff on there. If you want to hear lots of fun episodes, we're in a new place. Mondays, KGRARadio.com. KGRA. Just look up KGRA. You can find us on there. Lots of content coming up. We're going to have some new special episodes just on there. So make sure, please check it out. And check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/hysteria51. You can find t-shirts, posters. You can host your own show. You can pick a topic. You can, I don't know. For $3.50, I'll draw you a picture of the Loch Ness Monster. Someone actually asked for that. Like, if I pay $3.50, will you draw me a picture of the Loch Ness Monster? I said, yes, I will. I will. And it's going to look like a third grader did it.
And it
That's
did.
Actually being probably
nice.
Generous.
That's, yeah.
So if I come back enough, Brent, will I earn a bumper?
You know what? That is true. Yeah, you sure will. We'll get C-Bot working on it right
Good
away.
Good luck with that.
But speaking of you coming back, you're writing. Tell us. Hopefully you're going to be writing more books because your new one, what is called Bloody Scab in Space. What was it again? I've already.
It's close. That's close. So we
he's
talked
like,
about it.
That's not funny. In the back of his head, he's like, this motherfucker.
We talked about it a little bit last week, Scab Among the Stars. It's the first book in a series, which will be either 3, 7, or 8 books long, depending on how industrious I am.
Depending on if George Lucas buys it or not. Or what you just,
I'll let him write the love dialogue.
Yes.
It's so good when he does.
Yes.
Disney's already knocking at his doorstep.
Yes.
I'm saying that 6 years from now, it's made into a movie. You're like, Brent Hand's here? I don't know who that is. I have no fucking clue.
Yeah, Scab Among the Stars, dark fantasy book. It would be a cousin to Neil Gaiman, to China Meville, to maybe even on some level George R.R. Martin. It's grim, it's dark, it's engaging, and I look forward to people picking it up. The man to my left here has read it.
I have read it, and it's fantastic. And I think I said it last week, but I'll say it again. I'm a big reader, but this isn't really my cup of tea, this genre. But this was a book that I read in a binder.
In this genre you would probably like? What? You ever reach it like Foundation or Empire?
See, I have those, and I need to read them. And I
Because it's
and I
in
need
space,
to read Dune.
But it's all just like political
it is.
Bullshit.
Yeah.
And posturing. Yeah. That's like more of your style. You
that
know?
Is. And but
We're
with
in space debating.
You're saying I like space debate?
Well, I mean, that's more
I mean,
of
that's
your...
I know.
That's true.
He did say you like space docking, from what I understand.
Yes.
Ah, damn it.
That's his website, spacedocking.edu.
I don't know what that is, but it terrifies me just the thought of it. I literally don't know what you're talking about, but I'm frightened.
God knows I do.
Brent will tell you or show you off air.
No.
But going
Producer
back to
Lisa has a manual.
Going back to John Thomas's book, J.T.R. Brown's book. Again, I don't read a lot of dark fantasy speculative fiction, but I was gripped by this book. I really enjoyed it, and I was pretty proud of him. Still am. It's good stuff.
Speculative fiction is how they refer to my portfolio, which I don't think is good. Like, with my money, this is not speculative fiction.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not real good. Okay, you know, seriously, guys, check this out. And if you got questions, you can.
Oh, and exclusively on Amazon. I forgot to mention that. So Amazon in Kindle or in paperback form. And if you want to read my ranting on professional wrestling or theology or any other thing that I feel like talking about, www.jtrbrownwriting.com.
Nice.
Also, one last thing. I'll plug this. John Thomas was on my podcast, Sad Times. Had a really great episode. Just under JT Brown, but like his mother, I refuse to call him that.
Yeah.
But
he is my mother. It's really complicated.
It's really, really complicated. Just call me.
Personality disorder.
Yeah, no kidding. But yeah, check out that episode. I think.
Yes, mother.
As eloquent as
that's from Psycho.
Right. Yeah, I know. As eloquent as
sinful mother. You know, it's all.
That's right. As eloquent as John Thomas has been this week and last week, I mean, he really goes into a lot of deep things on the Sad Times episode having to do with religion, uncertainty, questioning faith, and it's a really good listen. So
it is. It's fantastic. It is fantastic. Yeah. And whoever put it together just knocked it out of the park.
Yes, thank you very much.
I don't know who that was.
Oh, I don't either.
Some guy with last name Foot.
Yeah.
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 I think it was Bert Foot.
I remember
Bert Foot.
I remember in college, our friend Nick, my roommate Nick, had a friend named Jackson Foot, and I'm just like, you can't be in the same room with me. Like, I don't think this is gonna work. I wonder what happened to that guy. Well, he's now running his own Branch Davidian sect.
And then you also had a cousin Mouth. So yes. Your hand, foot, and mouth.
Yeah, hand, foot, and mouth. It's a disease.
Yeah, it's a disease. Yeah. And that's what you took on the road.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah, but not on the road as much as David Koresh's band would have been if he just stuck with it a little longer. Because I'm sure, I wonder if I can play his music at the end of this. I wonder if that's any, someone actually owns that, right? You know what? I'm going to post that next week or this week or whatever.
And see if somebody knows.
On Facebook.
It? Yeah.
I'll put it on Facebook so you can jam out to some Sinful Messiah. And who were they opening for? I forget. What was the other one?
Slain Lamb.
Yeah. That's right. Lamb of God is a band.
Yeah, that
Lamb
is
of God
actually
is
a band.
Is a band called Swamp Ass.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
So if you want to talk about Swamp Ass, call 773-669-7277. Again, that's 773-669-7277. That's where you can leave us a voicemail, hear yourself on the show. If you forget any of our links, just go to the new and improved Hysteria51.com. We've been around for 3 years. This is my third go at the website. I keep changing it. Every year I redo it. I redid it again. It's completely new. Tell a friend about the show. Hopefully this might open some of your eyes if you didn't really know about David Koresh and the Branch Davidians. And it's not fun to talk about, but I think it's important to talk about these things. So that's why we do it. With that said, I've been Brent.
I've been Kevin.
JTR Brown.
He's been Conspiracy Bot.
Stay woke, meet sex.
It was terrible. It was just terrible. I'll never get over it as long as I live.
That's it for another edition of Hysteria 51. John and Brent will be back next week with yet more of the unexplained, the unexplored, and the unheard of. Oh, if it's unheard of, how will they know about it? Anyway, if you want to suggest a topic, give us your thoughts, or just make fun of Conspiracy Bot, that's my favourite. Join us in our Facebook discussion group, Hysteria Nation. Just log on to Facebook and search Hysteria Nation, or you can always tweet us at Hysteria51Pod.
You've been listening to a fourth-hand joint.